Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gaye Show. Happy Saturday to you. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is October the 2nd, 2021. And as I said last week, holiday season is starting. Of course, we kick it off with Halloween, and then Thanksgiving, and Christmas, and New Year's. Time to spend all that money. Yes, it's that time. Last week, I did say that we were going to start our hiatus. We are going to take a break. But I have one more show to do, which is today's show. One more show to do before we start our break. And we'll be back in November. But today we do have an interesting show because we've got some topics I definitely want us to go over and talk about that has happened recently. And one thing is what happened in California. Manhattan Beach, which was formerly known as Bruce's Beach, which was a black-owned beach in California, and it was taken from a family. It was literally taken, you know, and it's a multi-million-dollar stretch of property. And the governor, Governor Gavin, signed this week the property back to of his descendants of the family that owned the beach. And I'm going to read the story, and it's going to really trip you out how much they paid for it and look at how much it's worth now. Also, we're going to talk about the murder of Barry Washington Jr. And the question is this Emmett Till all over again? This young man was shot and killed allegedly for complimenting a white woman outside of a bar. I believe this was in Oregon, so I'm going to pull that up. And then at 6:45, we have a guest that's going to join us, Mr. Dave Lewis, We're going to talk about insurance policies, long-term, short-term life insurance. And he's going to give us a little information of what's the best route to go. Basically, for you, it's up to you what you want to do. But give us a little insight into insurance policies and how they work and what might work for you. But again, I want to welcome you to the show and hope that you enjoy the topics and our guests as we go forward. So what I want to do is I want to give time, folks time to chime in and listen to our topics and the conversation. So one moment, I'm scrolling through the board trying to find something here. And I know I have it on here. I know I uploaded it. Should be here. So give me a minute to find it. It's not there. That's interesting. I know I put it on the board, but I don't see it. That's crazy. Okay, I apologize for the pause here. But I know I uploaded this track here, and unfortunately, it's not showing. Okay, well, let me just go on to the topic. And here we go. Okay. All right, so it starts with a California beach was seized from black owners in 1924, a long time ago. So California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill allowing a plot of beachfront land along the Southern California coast to be returned to the descendants of a married black couple who lost it to eminent domain nearly a century ago. Bruce's Beach, a once thriving resort for black families owned by Willa and Charles Bruce, was seized by the town of Manhattan Beach in 1924 with the stated goal of building a park. But historical records compiled in a recent report on the incident, which included a raft of complaints from white neighbors at the time, show the land was condemned because its of proprietors and patrons were black. An effort is nearly complete to return the land, which is now owned by Los Angeles County, to the Bruce family's descendants and make amends for its seizure during the Jim Crow era. Newsom signed the bill before a crowd Thursday at Bruce's Beach, local media reported. Quote, I want to apologize to the Bruce family for the injustice that was done to them, Newsom said at the bill signing, according to NBC Los Angeles. We haven't always had a proud past. It goes on to say, previous state law required Los Angeles County to use Bruce's Beach for public recreation and prohibits the county from transferring it, but the new law scraps those restrictions. The California legislature gave its final approval to the measure this month. Let me go back and give a little more history on this, because this is really interesting when you talk about reparations and what has happened with this family and you know, it was just taken from them in the way it was. But let me go to another story on this. It says they're known as Bruce's Beach. I'm sorry, I missed a whole section there, scrolling. A stretch of prime Southern California beachfront real estate can now be returned to the descendants of its rightful black owners nearly a century after the parcel was taken by the city of Manhattan Beach. Known as Bruce's Beach, the resort had offered black families a place to enjoy the California life and was a labor of love for owners Charles and Willa Bruce. But harassment from white neighbors and Ku Klux Klan tore away at their dreams. Final blow came in 1924 when the city took the property through eminent domain and paid the couple a fraction of what they asked for. The city wanted the landmark for a park. On Thursday, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation that will enable the county to return the beachfront property to their descendants. The two lots are worth approximately $75 million in total. officials confirmed to CNN earlier this year. The houses directly next to the property have hefty price tags of around $7 million each. The new law was authored by Senator Steve Bradford, who sits on the state's newly formed reparations task force. That's interesting. Quote, this is what reparations look like, said Bradford, insisting that the county is not giving anything to the Bruce family, yet simply returning their stolen property. The Bruces purchased the land for $1,225 in 1912 and built several facilities, including a cafe and changing rooms. It was one of the few beaches where black residents could go because so many other local beaches did not permit black beachgoers. But some white neighbors resented the resort's popularity, a Bruce family spokesperson told CNN earlier this year. White supremacists and Klan members posted no trespassing signs and slashed tires so black families would avoid the area. The KKK attempted to set the property on fire and succeeded in burning down a local black family's home nearby, county's officials said earlier this year. Los Angeles County Supervisor Janice Hahn told reporters that when scare tactics didn't work, Manhattan Beach declared eminent domain in 1924. The couple eventually were paid about $14,125. They died just 5 years later. The city left the land vacant for several decades after it took ownership in 1929. Today, the property is now a park with a lawn, parking lot, and a lifeguard training facility. It no longer belongs to Manhattan Beach. The property was transferred to the state and to Los Angeles County in 1995. When the providers attempted to return the property to the Bruce family last spring, they discovered state eminent domain law prevented them from doing so. Quote, if the Bruces had been allowed to keep the property that they purchased, the impact that would have had on generations of not only Bruce family descendants, but other African-Americans who began to buy parcels surrounding Bruce's Beach, said Los Angeles County Supervisor Holly Mitchell. Quote, the law was used to steal this property 100 years ago, and the law today will get it back, said Hahn, who will take the next steps to identify the legal heirs of Willa and Charles Bruce and eventually return the property to the family. Quote, I am hopeful that the people in California will see the importance of trying to right this wrong, said Shepherd, the family spokesperson. State Senator Bradford said the story of Charles and Willa Bruce is not unique in California. Quote, black-owned properties experience tremendous amounts of hatred, harassment, hostility and violence at the hand of the Ku Klux Klan, who cold-bloodedly threatened the Bruces and other families who dared to enjoy the property. That is very interesting. So this family will get the property back now. They show a picture of Anthony Bruce, the great-great-grandson of Charles and Willa Bruce. And he speaks at the press conference where California Governor Newsom signed the SB 796 authorizing the return of oceanfront land to the Bruce family. So that's amazing. That's amazing that they bought this land for a little over $1,200, were given $14,000, and now the land is estimated to be worth millions of dollars. That's mind-boggling. Now, just imagine if other states did the same thing. How much land would be given back to descendants and of people who own the land and it was taken from them in that same form or that same fashion? What people could do with that land. It kind of reminds me of the situation with the creation of Jack Daniels, a whiskey that's been around for hundreds of years, over 150 years, and Jack Daniels decides to tell the truth of who actually created the recipe for a world whiskey that is popular around the world. But unfortunately, the family, I think the last name is Evans, the family or Evans, never received a dime in all these years that this product has been popular around the world. And I don't think they still haven't received anything. But that's a good thing that, you know, reparations are being given or the property is being given back. Question is, what happens once they get it back? Now, I did read in an article that it's possible that the family will allow the city to still, you know, use the facility for of the property. Interesting story. Reparations at work. Let me open up the mic at 818-516. Speaking of California beaches, it's my brother in California, Mr. Timon Shipp, has joined us. What's happening, Timon?
What's going on there, Mike?
All right, all right. Hanging in here. Happy Saturday. Happy Saturday.
Happy
sure you had a great birthday week.
Oh, it's still going on, man. It ain't stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's still going on. I don't go back to the 10th.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's a long birthday celebration.
Yeah, you only get that if you're a vet, you know. That's that veteran time that's getting you that.
Well, okay. I know that's right. So I was just reading a story about what happened there in your state in California
right.
about the Bruce family. And you're aware of it. That's pretty interesting. I didn't realize. Well, I knew that they paid, according to the story, that they paid a little over $1,200 for this property. And now this property is worth $7 million, roughly.
How much did you
say? It's they said that the houses directly. Well, I'm sorry. The two lots are worth approximately $75 million in total. Officials confirmed,
right.
And they said the houses directly next to the property have hefty price tags of around $7 million each.
Right. Now that property was sold to them by a dude by the name of Peck, and when Peck sold it, he left that land for black people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He developed Manhattan Beach. And they bought it. I mean, you know, Charles Bruce was a prominent brother. He owned his own, you know, he had, you know, worked his way up. And so he bought the land fair and square. But if you know that time period, the early 1900s, you know, black people were doing everything that they were supposed to do. You know, all they wanted was a fair shake. You wouldn't even need where they were saying that we needed to be, you know, to get things because of our color. But you wouldn't need it.
Affirmative action.
Affirmative action. There you go. Thank you. And you wouldn't need affirmative action if everything was fair. Now, he bought that land fair and square, but you took it. You know, the fact that the state of California, you know, did eminent domain and the Ku Klux Klan to run them off.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, black people always did, because remember, we're trying to assimilate. We did everything. We followed the rules. And every time it was economic jealousy that destroyed whatever we had. And people say, oh, it's not like that anymore. You should forget the past. No. This is why you don't forget the past, because there are more stories like this. They believe that at least 12 million acres of land has been stolen from black people over the years. This is a minute, small little thing with the Bruces happened with the Bruces. I mean, because you still got, you know, we all know about Black Wall Street, but there are other Black Wall Streets. There are other Bruces that done these things. The fact is, it took 100 years. But yet you're worried about race theory? You know why they don't want race theory to be taught? Because it will show what white people did to black people to record numbers of what they did to destroy them.
That's interesting.
And let us not forget, and I was going to say this, but I'll let you go. Let us not forget, from 2000 to 2020, it cost $16.5 trillion to discriminate against black people. So just about, think about that, Mike, if it had been done from the 1900s, early 1900s, all the way to 2021. You imagine how many trillions of dollars that they use to destroy black people?
And I was looking at an article where you look at all the things that were invented, and black folks were not allowed to get a patent.
No.
They couldn't own it. They couldn't own it. And I've always said, you know, a lot of things that we take for granted every day, you know, that was created by black people is because, you know, back in the slavery days, you know, when the master wanted it done, he wanted it done. So, of course, you have to be creative and figure out a fast way to do it. And then it's stolen from you, taken from you. And now there are people who are billionaires from a creation from somebody else because they weren't able to get a patent. They couldn't own it. You know, that's crazy. And I even mentioned, if you look at, a few years back when the Jack Daniels Corporation, the company that makes the whiskey that's known around the world, after 150 years, they finally tell the truth of who created the recipe. And the family never received a dime.
No.
And I don't think they have to this day.
Well, Henrietta Lack. Remember the movie that Oprah did?
Uh-huh.
Where they took her genome,
mm-hmm.
you know, from her body. And that's how they were able to do a lot of tests on cancer and their cancer research. You know, they never told us. They never told the family, and they didn't get no money from it either. And it was a white woman who ends up telling the story. The white woman that ends up telling the story about the black woman who got the brother on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, white woman told that story. They knew. I'm telling you, people have known this stuff. And it burns me up when folks say, oh, well, just let it go. No, screw you, man. You ain't letting that go. You think they want to, you know, why we got to let it go? Because you don't want to deal with what was created by your ancestors. But yes, you want to reap the benefit, but you don't want to talk about it. You're reaping the benefits and you always have. You've never had to embrace any of it. You know, our conversations have always been different. You know, we always had a different conversation than you had, you know, like a white boy's and his father had a whole different conversation than a black father and his son, or a mother talking to her daughter, or a mother talking to her son, trying to get them to focus on, you know, what is real, what is right. Always having to do double time. Always having, because you had to simulate like a white boy to do everything he was doing. So, you missed that crap.
And, you know, when you look at, and not to get off course, but I just happened to decide to pull up the story of Jack Daniels. And it says the production output of this alcohol is 16.1 million cases. That's 31 million gallons per year, as of this is what was posted in 2017. Now imagine if the family were given just a percentage of that, just a small percentage of that. What could have changed for them? You know, after all this time, which this Jack Daniels was founded in 1875. That's 146 years ago, according to this, which is probably more than that now. And they have a number of over 500 employees. But like I said, to this day, that family has.
There were brothers that were always working for him. Brothers mm-hmm. always worked for Jack Daniels. Because they had to know how to put it together. Brothers always knew how to make moonshine. That stuff wasn't new. They were making it in their backyard. You know? They knew about all that stuff. They knew how to make it all happen. You know, it's like Bear Bryant when he finally decided he said, I need to get me some of them black boys to come play on my team. Yeah, because you're getting your butt kicked. So I'm learning about vertical jumps and learning about speed. That's when that black boy showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they started putting out the brothers, like Jimmy the Greek stated, Jimmy the Greek said we had an extra bone in our foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we run so fast.
Right, I remember that, yeah. Well, what was his name? The guy who, I think he was the general manager for the Dodgers. Remember him? He made a comment one time after a ball game, you know, and got fired, saying the black man, his body is different or something that he said that was just totally ridiculous. And
Jimmy the Greek said they raised his, you know, there's the race, we were raised like big back, they used to breed us, you know. They were called big black bucks. All this stuff, you know.
Hey, I got someone that's waving their hand at 678-599. Let me open up their mic and let them join the conversation. And 678-599, one moment. Your mic is open. Welcome to TMGS. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Michael. And the TMGS folks.
Hey.
How y'all doing?
Fine. How are you?
How is y'all doing? I'm chilling.
Okay. Oh, is this Grace?
I'm chilling.
Okay, it's Grace. How you doing, Grace? Thanks for calling in. We're talking about what just happened this week in California, which is known as, the area is known as Manhattan Beach, but it was formerly known as Bruce's Beach. As I said, the story goes on to say that how the family, the Bruce family, purchased these two lots for a little over $1,200. The city offered them $1,400, which is just a fraction of what they were asking for. And Governor Newsom signed where the beach will be given back to the family because it was stolen from them. And according to the county, the two lots are now worth approximately $75 million.
Wow.
Now you talk about reparations. And the homes next to it have a hefty price of $7 million each. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the one of the relatives of the Bruce let them know this is not reparation. This was taken from us.
Right.
This is ours. We bought this.
That's
don't
true.
Talk. They brought that up. He told them straight up, this is not reparation. This is our property that was taken from somebody who went and did the right thing, who followed the laws and was abused. And they need to know.
I think it was the great-great-grandson, Anthony Bruce, which they show a picture of him during the signing. He was present at the time that they did the signing in California. Now, are you familiar with that area yourself since you live in California?
Who, me, Mike? Yeah, Manhattan?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That it's a park right now. That area where guess this, Mike. The only reason why everybody knows about this is because Manhattan Beach in 2007 voted in a black mayor, and that black mayor dropped that knowledge on them. Nobody in Manhattan Beach knew anything about it. It was a brother who told them. And once he told them, that's when it started to fight to get that property back to them, when they found out how they did it.
Now, I also read where there's a lifeguard training facility on that property at this time. And I read where, though this is still ongoing, for the folks who are listening, this is still ongoing, the process of getting it to the family. But that it's possible that the county will have to pay the family to still, you know, use that property for their training facility. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, everything I believe, Mike, they're going to find out that property is worth more than $75 million. They're going to find out that property is probably worth a little over $100 million. Because if you think about the third most expensive place, state to live in is California. Ahead of that is Miami, and before that is New York. And you're going to tell me all that's $75 million? Uh-uh. No, not as much property and as popular as Manhattan Beach is. Oh, no. I guarantee it's way, I believe it's worth way more than that. They just, they always, when the reason why they used to get black people to move out of those particular properties, well, also they would lower the, they would move the white people out and move the black people in, and then they would, jack up the price. But when the white people wanted to buy, it was a cheaper price.
Interesting. Well, we're going to keep our eye on this story and see how it comes out. And in an article I read where I think her last name is Han, said that this should be a wake-up call for other states to look at, just the fact that there's a lot of property out there that was stolen and taken from black families many years ago, and try to do the right thing. But I like what you said, Kymen, about what was it? You said critical race theory, I think it was.
That's the problem with that. Yeah, that's like the 1619 project. They don't want that. They don't want that information out. They don't want it out because it will expose, I'm telling you. Especially if they go, I don't know if you about, you should, I think it's in either Washington, D.C. or Alabama, where they built that museum that's about lynching.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go up, when you walk into the museum, you see all these long pillars that are hanging, and it has names on it. Well, they put them like that to show you basically how the, to give you a feel of the people who were lynched and when they were lynched. And I think they have like 4,000 people up there, but it could be more, So they were, they're showing you they don't want this stuff out because it really will expose how ruthless Americans were back in the day.
Right.
And I'm talking, the early 1900s. I mean, we know what happened in the 1800s. You had your slavery and everything. But just think, 1900s, it was brutal.
Right.
I mean, that's why they call it Red Summer, because it was nothing but, uprisings, blacks and whites fighting. And it's all over economic jealousy. They didn't want black people to thrive. Thriving, moving forward, having their own, taking care of their own people. White people were there to burn it down. They would not. I mean, they wouldn't. And there was a whole thing about, worrying about white women dating black men. That was another big problem.
Well, let me switch gears since you brought that up, because I have to switch gears because we do have a guest that's going to be joining us. Mr. Dave Lewis is going to talk to us about life insurance, short-term, long-term, and just different things as far as insurance, because we know that a lot of young folks do not get insurance. When they're on the job or whatever, they don't sign up for because they're young, but certain policies and things. So he's going to be joining us at a quarter to the hour. So let me next story in because since you just mentioned it, let me open it up. Then shooting suspect charged in killing of Barry Washington Jr. Ian Cranston indicted for murder, manslaughter, assault, and unlawful use of a weapon. A Central Oregon man is being charged with murder over the death of 22-year-old Barry Washington Jr., who was shot outside a nightclub in Bend on September the 19th. Police arrested Ian McKenzie Cranston at his home in Redmond on Thursday evening, soon after Deschutes County Grand Jury returned an indictment on six charges, second-degree murder, first-degree manslaughter, second-degree manslaughter, first-degree assault, and two counts of unlawful use of a deadly weapon. Washington, a black man, was unarmed at the time of his death. Cranston, the accused shooter, is white. The shooting sparked outrage among racial justice advocates in Bend, a city where more than 90% of residents are white and gun violence in the downtown area is rare. Deschutes County District Attorney John Hummel told OPB, which is Oregon, Oregon Public Broadcasting. The evidence suggests the men did not know each other until the night of the shooting when Washington approached Cranston's girlfriend, Allison Butler. At a press conference following Cranston's arrest, Hummel described the case in starkly racial terms. Quote, our country has a disgraceful history of denigrating, prosecuting, and lynching black men for talking to white women. Here's another Emmett Till situation, okay? I'm just going to throw that in there. Over the last week, literally hundreds of people called and emailed me to remind me of this history, Hummel said. There is a reckoning with race that needs to happen in Central Oregon, and it needs to happen now. Prosecutors did not seek a biased crime charge from the grand jury, Hummel said, adding that they are still investigating whether the shooting was racially motivated. An attorney for Cranston accused the district attorney of deliberately distorting facts to inflame public opinion. Quote, when this case goes to trial, it will provide another example of why, in this country, cases are decided on the basis of evidence presented in court, not press conferences by politicians. That's what Kevin Sally said in a written statement. So, and let me just say this last part here. I just want to read this last part before I ask you guys your thoughts on it. The defense lawyer said Washington assaulted Cranston. Quote, without provocation resulting in head injuries that required the police to take Mr. Cranston to the hospital where a brain scan and other procedures had to be performed, and that in direct contrast to the district attorney's public statements that unprovoked assault was still actively in progress when the single shot was fired. Both the defense and the prosecution point to different video evidence. Now, I haven't seen the video, but according to a person I saw on social media, they said the video shows where they were verbally assaulting Mr. Washington. And even after he was shot, they were laughing and using and calling him names, of course, the N-word and all that. Now, is anybody familiar with this story?
No. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
Yeah. Interesting story, though. And like someone said, this is almost like a Till situation.
Well, the thing is, Till was only 14 years old, and he whistled.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman, you know, that was the only difference is there is the age. And those are grown-ass men going after a young boy who just happened to be visiting his cousins in the South. Whereas this guy, if he was there at a party or at a club and, you know, white dudes are doing what they're doing. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he reminds me of the guy, you know, if you shooting people at will because you feel threatened, you know, then that's like, you know, guys over at the dude that went over to the church and killed the black people in the church. I mean, what more has to be done? You know, one dude has a gun, one has, he need to go to jail. If you're not going to get him for the hate crime, I'd give him 25 to life. And put her in jail right along with him. Because by using the N-word, coming out is a hate crime.
Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit more of the story. Butler, who is Cranston's girlfriend, released her own cell phone video of the fight to a local media outlet this week. And according to one story, to try to use it as their defense. And she's going to release it to a media outlet. Reportedly with the blessing of Cranston's defense attorney. The shaky footage shows just a few seconds of shoving between Washington and another person before the fatal gunshot cracks and he falls back. The recording goes on for nearly a minute after Washington is on the ground. Butler appears to walk away and talk to bystanders. Cranston rendered aid and applied pressure to the wound, according to Hummel, which is the attorney. Now, that doesn't sound right. You're going to shoot somebody, but then you're going to try to render aid. I don't get that. Does that sound?
No.
I mean, doesn't
that
sound kind of?
Remember the brother that got shot for jogging?
Yeah, here in Georgia.
In Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. The guy who was videotaping said he was just there to help out when he was in on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was in on it.
In fact, that case is in process now. Is going on right now. It's going on now. I believe they're still showing it on court TV. I believe it is. I think I saw it on. They were getting some things in order. I see another caller at 346. 274 waving their hand. Let me go ahead and open up their mic. Welcome to the TMGS. Welcome. How are you doing today?
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Hello.
What's going on, Kylie?
You know, not much. You know, I love you guys so much. I just want to say that.
Thank you. We love you, too.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But we're going to keep our eye on this story because it is very interesting, and it's a sad situation. And you're right. Well, Emmett Till was 14, but still, allegedly, Mr. Washington had said something to this gentleman's girlfriend, and that's what supposedly had started this whole situation. You know, I mean, just words. Wow. You know, that's
yeah.
That's
but
crazy.
You know what, Mike? If that's what it takes, he could have said, "Excuse me." He could have said, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, if
mm-hmm.
you already got rage in you toward black folks, you know, toward black people, you know, that's just a given. Anything
mm-hmm.
could have set him off. Just the fact of seeing a brother. You're a racist, you're a racist. You don't want black people to have nothing. You don't want them near you. You don't want them to be able to speak, have a car, anything. If you're still running around with that kind of rage in 2021,
mm-hmm.
because you think somebody that took something from you, and that's all that is. They're the main ones talking about, they took my freedom. You know, we need to go back to the way it was and, you know, the good old days. But when was that? For who? It was for white people.
Hey, you know what? I got to switch gears because it's almost time for our guests to join us. But, you know, it's funny. I was listening to someone that said that it's a shame what goes on here in this country, the racism, everything. And the only time we come together as a country is when we're threatened outside of our borders. Take, for instance, 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Never forget.
Mm-hmm.
But we should never forget what happens every day in this country that
mm-hmm.
we do to each other. We're worried
mm-hmm.
about folks overseas and other countries who would love to see us dead. I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, you look at North Korea can't stand us. You look at what happened on 9/11. We come together when stuff like that happens, Pearl Harbor
yeah.
and all that stuff. But we don't come together with the everyday things that happen in this country. Hey, we're going to go ahead and take a quick music break, and we'll be back with our guest, Mr. Dave Lewis, will be joining us. Here's Ellison Kendrick. Love this song, Blackson. We'll be right back, and stay tuned to the TMGS.
Beautiful thing, it's gonna be like your dreams. Let's make this a night you remember. It ain't over till the fat girl sings. You can put some rings on, get your makeup and your hair done, slip that sexy dress on, and make cartoons repeat the song. You can paint your nails too, but don't forget your dancing shoes. Can't wait to get you in my car, well you know I'm gonna rock you. I'm up in the club, and everybody's staring at you. I know I got your attention, cause I got on my black suit. No standing on the wall, I don't care at all. I got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit. To VIP, you can sit and have a drink with me. The conversation's good, we laughing on the dance floor to the beat. Baby girl, let me take your hand, turn around, let me see you dance. Your booty so sweet, you touching on me is more than I can stand. I love it when you get too on, I'm feeling like I'm on one. We can put these drinks down and make the DJ play your song. You can even sing too. Don't forget who came with you. Can't wait to got you in the mood, cause I got on my black suit.
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 And I'm wearing it just for you. Working so hard till you make me sweat. Play with my feelings, take control of me. Till I don't even know what's coming over me. I got to know what's going on, baby, after the club. Don't be shy, don't be acting cute. Help me with the style of my black suit. When we step up in the club,
and welcome back to the TMGF. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Michael Gay. Simon Shipp, another co-host, had joined us. He had to step away for the rest of the show. He had some other plans for the evening, so I want to thank Simon all the way out in California, Los Angeles. So thank you, Simon, for joining us today. And right now, I'm going to introduce our guests. We're going to talk about life insurance and different things as far as life insurance policies, as I've mentioned before. And I'm going to open up his mic. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Dave Lewis, and your mic should be open. Well, it should be opening. It's pinwheeling. See, that's the thing that bothers me about Blog Talk sometimes. It acts kind of funny. Why is it taking so long? Okay, I apologize for the error here. Let me go ahead and refresh the board. See if that will help. I don't see where the board is refreshing. Let me see. Cotton, are you still there?
I am here.
Okay, one moment. I'm having a problem here with the board, and I apologize to everyone. Let me see if I can bring it back up. Try this here. Oh, boy. When it rains, it pours. One moment. Let me go back into Blog Talk. I can sign back in. Okay, we are having some technical difficulties, so I apologize, everyone. 1 second. Let me see if I can try to refresh again. This is not good. That's not good. 1 second. Still not coming up. Cotton, do you have access to your computer?
No, I don't have my computer.
Okay, one moment. Let me try something else. I don't understand why it's not bringing the board back up. And I want to apologize to our guests. I know they're standing by, and this should not be happening. This. Okay, so now that's not acting right. All right, so you guys, please stand by for a moment. I'm going to try and see if I can go through this, call it the back door, and see if I can get through. I don't understand this. This is crazy. The Blog Talk will do this. Let me try this here. Oh, phone line is still open, but the board is not acting correct. So let me try another way into the board. And we should be up and running momentarily. Well, this is not good. This really isn't good. And I truly apologize, you guys. I don't know why. Of all the days for this to happen. Everyone, I truly apologize. I'm not understanding why I'm having problems with the board at this time. I have no access to open up any mics at the moment or at this time. Okay, I'm getting a text. 1 second. All right, so I'm seeing what a three-way call work. Yeah, the board is still open. Go ahead and dial me, and let me see if I can put you on a conference call here. That's Mr. Lewis. And we should be able to get us on here, and I can still be working on this at the same time. Sir Lewis, how you doing, sir?
Fantastic, sir. How are you?
Could be better. I don't know what happened, why this is happening.
You know, these things happen sometimes.
Yes, definitely. Let me see. Cotton, are you still there? Okay.
I am here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Okay, so I got Cotton on the board. Okay, so welcome to the show, Mr. Dave Lewis. Dave, how you doing today? Thank you for calling in.
Doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you for joining us. So we were talking today. In fact, for the listeners, I was talking today with my friend Andre James, and I was talking to her about, you know, insurance, and she said, hey, I got the perfect person you can talk to. And luckily, lo and behold, Mr. Lewis is joining us to give us a little information about insurance policies, short-term and life-term. Give our listeners a little background about yourself, if you don't mind, and how you got into the field.
Sure. It's funny. Just before I went to college, my name is Dave Lewis. I'm originally from New Jersey. I live here in Detroit now with my wife and children. And how I got introduced to this industry was literally I got invited to a meeting. I literally got invited to a meeting and went to that meeting, and I came home from that meeting telling my mom and dad, I'm not going to college. I want to do this. And they said, you're going to school. And that was that. So, several years later, I was able to revisit it. And I remember the excitement that I had when I first was introduced to the industry. And I said, oh, man, everybody's going to want to know about this. And that began my journey. So that's where it all began.
Fantastic. That's great. That is great. So, and how long have you been in this field?
I've been in this field for over 2 decades. I've worked with multiple companies and so forth, and I am really excited to share what I have literally stumbled upon. Me and my wife stumbled across it, and it's just been a true blessing since then. So I'm really excited to share information about this topic.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, you guys, fortunately, the board has come back up. Excuse me. So I see some numbers here. So when you guys are ready to chime in after we go over a few things. So give us a little understanding about, for folks who don't know, but the short-term, the long-term life insurance, and what do you consider the best? Because some folks say, well, you shouldn't get the short-term or you should get the long-term. I mean, just give us a little understanding about the difference between the two.
Sure, I'll be happy to. It's a great question. It's a great place to look. It's different for everybody. That's the short answer, right? In reality, it depends on what your needs are. For example, term insurance, that's for the reason it's called term insurance is because it's for a specific amount of time. It's usually 20 years, 30 years, 15 years, 10 years, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the thing about term insurance is if you Google it, when you look at does it pay out or how often does it pay out, 99% of the time it does not pay out because people outlive it, period. It doesn't have any cash accumulation or anything like that. However, it does serve a need. There are people who maybe are on a fixed budget and can only get a certain amount of coverage. It's very inexpensive, and there are lots of inexpensive policies out there where people can participate with that if they want to. Also, it's important to keep in mind the need for a term insurance plan. It fulfills two different needs that I can think of off the top of my head. One is income replacement. Let's say you're making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, or $50,000 or $40,000 a year. You're married, you have children. If your income is gone because you passed away, that's a hit on the family, a major hit. So a policy like that would replace that income, you see? Another reason people go with term insurance, let's say they have a $200,000 or $300,000 home, which is probably around the average these days, right? Maybe a little less, a little more. Bottom line is if you have that face amount of $200,000 or $300,000 and you pass away, the house is covered. It's paid for, right? That's another actual reason people will purchase term insurance. So that's the long and short of short-term insurance, if you will, to answer your question. I can go into detail about long-term in a moment.
Okay. And then we were talking about, accidental death. You know, the reason why I thought about that, and I was telling a friend, I'm a forensic files type person and, you know, cold case files. And, you know, when you hear these stories of these deaths and how these folks all of a sudden died, and then they do an investigation and realize that the spouse had a $50,000 life insurance policy, you know, that type of stuff. When those type of cases come up, it's really interesting to me to see how folks are really stupid, you know, that all of a sudden they run to collect it shortly after the person passed away. But tell us a little bit about in those cases as far as accidental death insurance. Well, there is such a thing, correct?
There is, absolutely. Accidental death insurance is basically anyone who passes away or transitions from under the age of 65, 9 times out of 10 transitioned because of an accident. It wasn't because of bad health. So in that instance, there has to be something that comes into the household when the catastrophic events happen, right? That's what accidental death insurance is for, accidents. It's just that simple. It's not a lot of moving parts to it. There has to be some type of relationship. You mentioned forensic and things of that nature and people getting murdered and whatnot. There has to be some type of relationship. Otherwise, you can't qualify to get the plan. So it has to be either a family relationship or very close for that to happen. So, but as far as, you know, people, you know, committing fraud and doing all sorts of things, unfortunately, it's a reality. It just is. But, you know, the insurance companies, they have a way to look and see and do the forensics, like you mentioned, to uncover the truth.
Right. Interesting. By the way, everyone that's listening, our guest is Mr. Dave Lewis, giving us a little insight into insurance, life insurance, short-term, long-term. And he's going to touch on a few other topics and give a little bit of information. What might work for you and what may not? And you may have some questions. If you do, please hit the number 1. I'll open up your mic. And folks in the chat room, go ahead and type in your questions, and I'll read them on the air. Cotton, do you have any questions for our guest?
Can you take out my question is, can you take out a life insurance policy on anybody? And two questions, I'm sorry. And if there's a life insurance policy out there, when somebody passes, how would the family find out if that information exists, if they don't have any like life insurance policy number?
Okay. Let me answer the first one. Let me answer the last one first, and then I'll answer the first one. The way people find out is when an insurance agent does a full service job. And what I mean by that is at the end of the sale, if you will, when somebody purchases a plan, purchases a policy. That's not the end of it. The end of it is, okay, listen, we got to make sure that as many people as possible, at least 10 people, 5 or 10 people, know that you have a policy. So if anything does happen, we can get in contact with them to get in touch with the family, just in case the family doesn't know, right? There's also something called a will, right? And a will is very important for that purpose as well. It notifies the family, lets the family know what's going on, and it's usually kept in a very safe place where family members are aware of where it is, right? So that's how people find out, who to contact and how the family is notified, right? Now, to answer your first question about can you get a policy on anybody, yes and no. It has to be some sort of relationship. It can't just be any old stranger. You just take a policy out on them. It doesn't work that way. But if you have some type of working relationship or some type of, family relationship, which is preferred by the insurance carriers, then, yeah, if everybody's in agreement, you can go ahead and insure, take a policy out on each other and that kind of thing. Business owners do that a lot of times. It's called key man insurance. They cover each other, so in case one of the partners passes away, the other family's taken care of, and so is the business.
For answering that.
Oh, you're welcome. Great question. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Just got to let you guys know, Dave, I opened up your mic on the board. I'm having little issues with my phone. For some reason, it keeps wanting to cut out on me. So you are open on the board. So, Cotton, in case you hear me drop, the board is open, so I got the mics open. I see some other folks that are on the board. If you have any questions or any comments, go ahead and hit the number one so I can open up your mic. So in case I drop, you are on the board with your questions or comments.
I can jump back on the board if you like.
Excuse me?
I can jump back on the board if you like. Yeah. I still have it up.
Yeah, go ahead and jump back on the board. I did open up your mic on the board, so just in case.
Okay.
I'll be able to pop back in, but you will be on the board to continue the conversation. So you said that there's more to share as far as, well, one moment, something happened. Okay, you're on hold. Okay, now you're back. Okay. Now, I've had the habit of always getting, through my employer, I would get dental insurance, which is great to have. And I would always get the insurance for vision care and everything. And lo and behold, I haven't got any glasses yet, so I've been wasting money. But I'm going to get some. I'm getting to the point I can't see what's in front of me. So when you look at emergency insurance? Say for instance, when you can get insurance, like if you have to go to the emergency room. For whatever reason. Is that something good to have, or would you consider that good to have, or something that might be just a waste of money?
Well, to answer your question, I think anytime there's an employee and employer relationship, if that employer is offering quote-unquote benefits, and those benefits include, life insurance, dental insurance, health insurance, emergency room coverage, it's usually part of the health insurance, by all means participate, because you're dealing with a group rate, right, which is a low rate. But that's the pro, right? There's pros and cons to everything. That's the pro. However, the con is, and it's very interesting that this topic comes up, because I just had a conversation this afternoon with a husband and a wife, and the wife just got laid off, and she had coverage through her employer. Well, guess what? When you don't have that employment anymore, so goes those benefits. So what's the lesson? The lesson is making sure that you have something outside of the employer. That's very, very important. I can't emphasize that enough, because there's been numerous times in this industry when I've sat down across the kitchen table from a family and they say, oh, yeah, no, we don't need anything. We're covered on the job. And I had to educate them each and every time, and it didn't work every time, but I made the effort and made sure that they were educated and aware that, look, you have to have something outside of your employer, because what happens if you lose your job? That's it.
Wow. That's true. I see a number on the board. I'm going to give you Mike one second. And I do apologize, you guys, for some reason today, Blog Talk is wanting to act a little funny. Let me see if I can open up this mic here. And, yep, they're here. I know who this is. Welcome to the show, Andrea James, and happy Saturday to you.
Thank you. How are y'all doing today? Are you there?
Hello,
can you
hello.
Hear me? Okay,
absolutely.
I'm here. All right. I want to know, and Michael, thank you for having Dave Lewis on this morning, this afternoon, for two questions. For single people who are young, what's the best time for them to even consider a short-term or a long-term policy? And do you talk about this to young couples that are before they get married to consider bringing on a life insurance policy when they get married and make sure it's in their budget?
Great question. Thanks for asking that, Andrea.
Thank you.
And hello, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Twofold. I'll do it in reverse like I did the previous question. Yes, we definitely do speak with couples before they get married. It's important that they are aware of the importance of insurance, especially the types of coverage and what's available, such as not-for-profit life insurance companies, which I'm going to cover in a little bit. But also, the first question that you asked about young people, you know, what's the best age? As soon as possible. Why? Because it's less expensive the younger you are. And depending on the type of plan that you get, especially if you get a whole life policy, the premium never changes. So let's say you got it at age 20, and then 20 years later, you're 40 years old, the rate didn't change. It's still what you paid for as if you were 20 years old. So as soon as you can get it, because it's better to have it than not need it. Please, you definitely need it. Everybody needs it. Everybody needs coverage, especially young people these days.
Okay. All right. I guess that answers your question then. Wow. That was a good question, especially for young folks that may be listening.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. And for us older folks, make sure you get some life insurance. I like that you said that, you know, don't just depend on your employer or your insurance, because like you said, if the job goes, the insurance goes with it. What's your thoughts about, let's say, like, well, what would they call Obamacare, where folks can get insurance? What's your thoughts about that, if you have any to share with
us? Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of the healthcare initiative that President Obama put in place, I think it was a good move. I really do. But what stand out of that is there was a lot of people who just literally could not afford it. There was no, how do I put it? There was no contingency plan, if you will, for those who just couldn't afford those premiums. They were expensive. They weren't inexpensive. And what happened as a result is there were a lot of companies that started to spring up and offer a version of those plans that were significantly less expensive, but obviously you get what you pay for. So it was kind of the double-sided coin, if you will, in reference to that initiative. But it was a good initiative, and it helped a lot of people. I really believe that, and I see that. I was part of that era, so I remember that.
Interesting. I see a 205-422 on the board. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and hit the number one. I'll open your mic. Let me go back around the board. If anybody else has any more questions, go ahead with them. And then I'm going to ask Mr. Lewis to go ahead and give us a little more, just a little more information. Now, when you said that you sit and you talk to folks, do you ever have people who, you know, it takes a lot to convince them to get a certain plan? Or, I mean, just try to understand, you know, what is it that you have the hard time of making folks understand as far as what kind of plan they need to have? I'm sure you run across that from time to time where folks are like, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? what is the hardest part of your job, I guess, is what I'm asking to get people to understand what's best for them.
Sure. In the past, prior to recently, with the last 6 months, I'll say, prior to that, the hardest part was just having a conversation. You know, the conversation of insurance is spooky. That's my message would say. You know, nobody wants to talk about it because nobody wants to talk about death. So that was the hardest part, just having conversations like that. But and the other thing is anything that's transactional, that's a hard conversation as well, unless it's something that somebody already wants and has already researched. So I would run across that time and time again because it was transactional. But when it's movement-driven, like not-for-profit life insurance companies, that's a different conversation altogether because it's not about the insurance per se, and it's not about the insurance premium and how much it costs and so on and so forth. It's about making them aware about all of the benefits the free benefits, I should say, that are available to every member of a not-for-profit life insurance company, also known as a 501c8 entity. So to further elaborate on that, I'm currently with an organization called Focus on Community. It's a movement. It's a melanated-owned life insurance agency. We specialize and specifically focus on spreading awareness about not-for-profit life insurance companies. So now here's the question. If you ask 10 people, do you know or did you know there was such a thing as a not-for-profit life insurance company? 9 out of 10, if not 10 out of 10 people, will tell you no.
Right.
So what we do is we educate people on how to access and utilize these 501c8 entities, these not-for-profit life insurance companies, that were specifically created to support and empower the community through their quarterly grants, their scholarships, their free online learning libraries, and basic financial literacy education, and so much more. Okay? And that falls in the realm of a whole life plan. And I can really get into some detail if you'd like.
Interesting. Well, I'm one of those 9 out of 10. I didn't know there was a non-profit. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one of
What's interesting about – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say, what's interesting about not-for-profit life insurance companies, it works either for term or for whole life. It doesn't matter what type of plan – or even accidental death. It doesn't matter what type of plan you choose for your family. Once you're a member, you're a member, and you have access to a ton of benefits. And if you don't mind, I'd like to cover just a few.
Sure.
Just, you know, I'm not going to go over all of them, but I will cover a few so people can understand and be aware. Because at the end of the day, one of our sayings is we're not really concerned or care about your interest level. We just want you to be aware. Okay. So one of the biggest benefits, if you will, is the diabetes member benefit. When you think about diabetes in our communities, a lot of us suffer from diabetes, and it's kind of like, if you don't have diabetes, you're not aware of how expensive it is for those who do have diabetes, right? So it's a very expensive illness that people have. And the diabetes member benefit offers discounted pricing on trusted diabetes management products through Accutex. It's incredible. It's exclusive pricing just for members of the Fraternal Benefit Society, okay? It has lifelong learning. Over 200 courses online, free, all kinds of things. I mean, we're talking stuff like personal development, health and wellness, business management, computer skills and technology, writing and communication, professional development, sales, finance. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I haven't even gone through more than 2 benefits yet. There's more. And this is the one I think I spoke to Andrew about earlier today, and I think I spoke to you about it too, and it's the Orphan Scholarships and Orphan Benefit. Now, what that is, I'll go in reverse. The Orphan Benefit is, God forbid, mom and dad pass away in transition, the children are left over, and usually grandma or grandpa takes care of them, right? There's always a story. We just don't know what it is. So
correct.
When grandma and grandpa have to deal with this now. Maybe they're retired now. Their income has been cut in half. They don't have the income that they had before. Well, who's going to take care of little Johnny and little Susan, right? Well, the orphan benefit is a monthly payment of $900 per month per child up until the age of 18. Now, think about that. If one child was 2 years old, that's over $172,000 when you add in the $6,000 times four, which is a total of $24,000 for the scholarship to go to school, to go to college, because it stopped at age 18, and then the $24,000 kicks in so they can go to school.
Wow.
That's
incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
And your for-profit life insurance companies don't have these benefits. So, yeah, you can compare and contrast when you look at dollars and cents, and if you want to look at the money that you're spending for things, yeah, you can do that. But at the end of the day, there's really no contrast or comparison because no other for-profit life insurance company has any of these benefits, and that was only like four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other thing about, and I think I'll wrap up with this one here. The other thing I want to point out, the thing about life insurance is one of the reasons why nobody really wants to talk about it is because you can't use it until you transition. And you can't even enjoy it because you're no longer here.
Right.
For those people who are terminally ill, right, they have terminal illness, usually their bank accounts become terminally ill as well. Right, when they're dealing with it. I lost both my parents to cancer. And I wish I knew about this back then. That would have made a huge, huge difference rather than having to go to the local hospital. Because 75% of the face value of the not-for-profit life insurance company's policy can be used to go see Dr. Gupta, can be used to go fly to Africa and get some real treatment, can be used any way you want for your treatment. That's a big, big, big deal.
Right.
You see? So, I mean, that's what this is all about. And you know, to educate a little bit further about whole life insurance companies, you know, versus term life insurance. I'm sorry, whole life insurance versus term. I covered a little bit about term, and I'd like to wrap up with the whole life and how folks can learn more about this, if that's okay with you. Whole life insurance works like this. I think I mentioned earlier the premium stays the same, and you get whatever coverage amount that you get for whatever needs you have, and it builds up like a little piggy bank, right? It's called cash value. And that cash value accumulates over the years. And what happens is at some point, either 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever the case may be, depending on your age when you purchased it, there's a lump sum of money that's available to you, and you don't have to take a loan out against it. This is something that I've learned, and it's very important that everybody's aware of this. If you currently have a whole life insurance policy, you do not have to take a loan out from it and repay it. You just take the money. And what the insurance company does is they reduce whatever you took out of it from the face amount. So think about this. If you are in your 70s, you don't need $100,000 worth of life insurance coverage. Maybe you needed that when you were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, but if you're in your 70s and 80s, you don't need that much coverage. However, when you started the plan at 20 or 30 or 40 or what have you, it's accumulated over time, and the money that you put in terms of premiums are accumulating cash value. What happens is when you're ready to take the money, what you put in oftentimes is less, if not equal to what you can take out of it. Well, how can they do that? Well, they can do that because you've been paying premiums, right? And on top of that, they just subtract that from the face amount, and you're left with enough to take care of your burial and not have to count on GoFundMe and things like that. I think it's sad that so many people in the community have to depend on GoFundMe when something happens. It's too late then. That's why planning and having something like this in place and being aware of something like this is so critically important. I can't emphasize that enough. And that's what Focus on Community is all about, getting awareness out into the marketplace, into the community, and letting everyone know, hey, not-for-profit life insurance companies exist, and you have access to all of these benefits that are earmarked just for you.
That's fantastic. Like I said, I'm one of the 9 out of 10 that I wasn't aware. I'm going to definitely be reading up on that. If you don't mind, can you share your contact information? You have like a Facebook, Twitter.
Sure, sure. On Instagram, it is each EACH, the number one, help, HELP, one spelled out. So each one help one. Okay. I also can be reached via email at eachonehelpone@gmail.com. And the simplest way, really, which I don't have a problem with it. People can text me. You can call me anytime. Well, not anytime because I need to sleep. I need to sleep. But I am available at 848-226-8591. 848-226-8591. Be happy to talk with you no matter where you are in the country. And happy to just spread awareness about this. And anyone who wants to join in this movement, hit me up. Let me know because we're all in this together and we all do everything by committee. You'll never be alone. It's not just me. It's me and my wife. Say hi, babe.
Hey.
That's my wife, Gaia.
Hey.
And,
hello.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Absolutely. And we do everything
hi.
By committee. We have a whole team behind us. There you go. Andrea Jane said hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much, Andrea. I really, really appreciate it. I've been twice this show today. I'm a listening in office.
Same here. Absolutely. Powerful, powerful show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's what I love about doing this is that we call ourselves a variety show. We do have other co-hosts who join us from time to time. A few of them are busy this weekend, but we like to have a lot of different things. Thank goodness for you and many different guests, and we just like to have different things to talk about. And like I said, educating folks, and we've learned something today. I want to go around the board and see if anyone else has any more questions or comments before we let you go.
Absolutely.
I'll go to Staten Campbell. Any questions or a comment on that you want to say to our guests?
Now, my last question, and please don't be offended by what I'm about to say.
Oh.
My last question is, what happens to all that money that's paid out that a person never gets to utilize?
Interesting.
it's a great question.
Did I make myself clear? Just understood what I said?
Very clear. Crystal
okay.
clear. It's a great question. It's a very fair
okay.
question. And no, I'm not offended. Thanks for asking. what happens? It goes back to the insurance company. That's what happens.
Right.
It's like this. You've paid for 20 years, 30 years, 35 years into a plan. And at the end of that 35 years, that's it. They've reached their obligation to you as a policyholder. You've paid for a certain amount of time, and that's the end of it. So all the money put into it, if it doesn't have a cash value equivalent, right, or a cash value component, that's it. You just spent that money, and guess what? You're still living, and now you still need coverage. Otherwise, you got to go get a GoFundMe, right? And now what? Now you're older, and maybe you have some deteriorating health. Now it's hard to get coverage. Oh, which, by the way, the not-for-profit life insurance companies I was talking about, they don't have that issue because, one, you don't have to have any medical exams, no blood, no urine, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, you can get approved for pretty much whatever you're dealing with. That also is not the case with for-profit life insurance companies. So hopefully that answers your question.
That didn't. That didn't.
You know, if I can't help. I can't help but think about Chris Rock when he was talking about insurance. He says, you know, you pay an insurance in case it happens. You know, that's out the SH. And his question was,
right.
So if it don't happen, shouldn't I get some of my money back?
Oh, you almost
exactly.
sounded like
it. Exactly.
I couldn't agree more. But unfortunately, that's not how it works.
True. Shouldn't I get some of my money back? Right. Andrea, any more? You have another question or a comment?
I'm just thankful that Dave Lewis and his wife and the whole company were able to chime in today. And some interesting information that, like Michael said, we didn't know about. What about... If you have, when you go, you're a little older and you go in for either short-term or lifetime policy, and they find out that you have a condition affect a first-time policyholder?
It's a great question, and it happens a lot, right? Especially with folks in the community, right? We have pre-existing conditions, diabetes, high blood pressure, you know, what have you, right? Got that sugar, right? We've heard that many times. And with traditional coverage, traditional for-profit insurance companies, yeah, that's an issue. You may not be insurable. However, with not-for-profit life insurance companies, there are no pre-existing conditions. We can find something, some way to cover you in most cases, or many cases, I should say.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thank you again, Michael, for everything that you do. Every time I chime in, it's always something new that I didn't know before. So I'm glad I'm able to tune into the TMGS show. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you so much for making contact with our guest, Mr. Dave Lewis and Mrs. Lewis, for joining the TMGS on this beautiful Saturday here in the ATL. And thanks to all of the callers and my co-hosts, Time and Shift, Cotton Campbell, for joining us today. We got about another 30 minutes to burn, you guys, believe it or not. And as I said, officially we're supposed to be on hiatus, but I had to go ahead and do this show. And as of today, this will be our last show until November. We're going to take a break. We've been working real hard, as you know, as most of you know. We've been on the air, well, the Michael Gay Show has been on the air for roughly about 5 years, and we've been an independent show for a full year as of December as of last month, independent show for a full year. So I'm so thankful and pleased with what we've accomplished in this past year. I see a 540209 number on the board. Thank you for joining. And so, Dave, thank you so much. Appreciate the information. And like I said, I'm going to do some research and do some reading up on especially the not-for-profit, which we were not aware of. So now you are. So all of you listeners out there, now you're aware of it. And for the folks in the chat room, thank you for listening. And I definitely appreciate the people in the chat room. All right, you guys.
Thank you.
Again,
appreciate
thanks to Mr. Dave Lewis. Have a great weekend, and we appreciate you. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you.
All right, you guys. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick music break, and when we come back, we're just going to go over some of the topics that we talked about earlier in the show, because I know some of you guys chimed in late. We're going to go back and talk a little bit about what just recently this week happened in California, where the Bruce family, who purchased property in Manhattan Beach back in the 1900s for roughly $1,200 taken from them. Now the city has given the property or is in the process of giving them back the property that was taken from them, stolen due to eminent domain. And now the property is worth roughly $70 million. We're going to touch back on that real quick. And also we're going to touch on the murder of Mr. Barry Washington Jr. in Oregon. We're just going to go back and just go and touch on that topic just a little bit if you missed it earlier in the show. But right now, let's take a quick music break. Here's JG, Johnny Gill, and it's featuring Ron DeVoe of Belle Biv DeVoe. This is So Gentle. We'll be right back.
Yeah, RD, kicking it with my boy JG, and it goes a little something like this. That I could call my own. Are you the one
Welcome back to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's JG, Johnny Gill, featuring Ron Dizzle with Soul Gentle. And a few weeks ago, Johnny Gill and Ron Dizzle were here in Atlanta at the Home Depot Backyard Concert, which was held right next to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But unfortunately, they didn't perform. And boy, talk about a crazy show that was. If you want to hear what happened, and I'll just give you a little bit of information. Unfortunately, the show started way late. There were a lot of issues with that show. And Johnny Gill went on stage to tell the audience he's not going to be performing. Boy, that was crazy. But our guest 2 weeks ago was Mr. Mark Quez Gaines, who's also the manager of the Mighty Whispers, and unfortunately one of the twins was ill, so you only had two Whispers on stage. It was a travesty show, and Mr. Gaines was with us 2 weeks ago. On the 7:30 mark of the show, he chimes in and tells us exactly what happened and what had occurred. I mean, you're talking about the Whispers. Johnny Gill was supposed to perform. You had Frankie Beverly Mays. You had Kool and the Gang. And Frankie Beverly Mays, I think, was scheduled to perform for roughly 90 minutes. They only had enough time to do three songs. Boy, were people mad. But anyway, if you like to hear the story, just go to, well, you can go to Blog Talk Radio or just Google TMGS, The Michael Gay Show, and that's definitely in our archives so you can listen to the story of what had occurred. So back to the show, and like I said, I'm going to go back and go over some of the topics that we or stories that we spoke about. And let's see. Andre, you're on the West Coast. I was wondering if you heard about this story. And it's the story of the Bruce family. And according to CNN, a stretch of prime Southern California beachfront real estate can now be returned to the descendants of its rightful black owners nearly a century after this parcel was taken by the city of Manhattan Beach. Known as Bruce's Beach, the resort had offered black families a place to enjoy the California life and was a labor of love for owners Charles and Willa Bruce. But harassment from white neighbors and the KKK tore away at their dreams. The final blow came in 1924 when the city took the property through eminent domain and paid the couple a fraction of what they asked for. The city wanted the landmark for a park. On Thursday of this week, Governor Gavin Newsom signed legislation that will enable the county to return the beachfront property to their descendants. The two lots are worth, get this, approximately $70 million in total, officials confirmed to CNN earlier this year. The houses directly next to the property have hefty price tags of around $7 million each. The new law was authored by Senator Steve Bradford, who sits on the state's newly formed reparations task force. Now, Timon was on earlier in the show, and he had said something that I was not aware of, that the only reason, this is according to Tom, the only reason we know about this is because the city of Manhattan Beach elected a black mayor, and he brought that to the forefront. But that's amazing that this was taken from this family. According to the rest of the story, it says this was reparations look, this is what reparations look like. But now one of the family members said, this is not reparations. This is giving back what was rightfully ours that was stolen. Question is, have any of you ever heard of this story? Anybody there? Hello?
I'm here.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Have anyone heard this story?
No, I haven't.
No, not prior to this show.
All right.
Mm. Yeah. Very interesting.
Well, you know, I live here in California. You know, I've heard about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Well, you're the one who brought it up. You're the one who brought it up.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to going over to Bruce Beach to find out how much land is there and what the opportunities are for us. Mm-hmm. And to possibly meet the Bruces or the descendant from the Bruces. I don't know how, but that's a lot of people saying that this is some form of reparations, but we shouldn't stop here. But
correct.
Keep it going. But thanks for bringing this up as a topic. And with Manhattan Beach is the West Coast beach, very popular and very much supported by white people, mm-hmm. Manhattan Beach. So to know that a family back in the 1920s was able to buy a stretch of land for $1,200, you said?
It was
remarkable.
It was $1,224. It was under $2,000. It was $1,200 and some change. Now, according to what which I'm trying to look it up, And this is what Tyman shared with me, is that we're, there was a guy, his last name was Peck, that actually sold the land to the family. He sold it to the family. And the Bruces, you know, they outright purchased it. And I like what Tyman said, is that where, you know, black people were just trying to do the right thing. I believe Mr. Bruce worked as a, he worked, I think they said he worked two jobs, but he worked like a cook, I believe, on a, you know, like on a train or something like that. I mean, they were a prominent family, you know, they worked hard for their money. And, you know, people just didn't like the fact that they owned property and they did it the right way. But here comes the, you know, here comes the folks that want to take something away. You said that this is a form of reparation, but some folks say it's just getting back what is rightfully theirs. And it made me think of a lot of things that black people owned and it was taken or stolen, or you look at, I always mention the fact that a lot of things that black people created or invented, well, we couldn't buy a patent. We weren't allowed to own it. You know, we couldn't get it patented. So it was taken from us and put under someone else's name. You know, things that we take for granted that we use every day. So imagine all the things that are all the property out there that was taken and what could have happened if we were allowed to keep our property. You follow me? What could have been, you know, if black folks still had generational wealth. You know, that's what I'm really trying to say. And this is just a first step, I guess. When you look at which we spoke earlier about, you look at like the Jack Daniel's whiskey. It took 150 years for them to admit that that formula was actually created by a black man. And I was reading an article where, I mean, been around for 150 years. Imagine the money that spirit has generated over the years and the money that they've made. But that family, to this day, from what I understand, were not given a dime out of the profits that this has made. So according to the article and according to one of the council members, they said that they hope that other states will do the same and look at properties that were taken from black families and get it back. I don't know if that's going to actually happen. I want to go ahead and read a little bit more on this, where it says the Bruces purchased the land for $1,225 in 1912 and built several facilities, including a cafe and changing rooms. It was one of the few beaches where black residents could go because so many other local beaches did not permit black beachgoers. But some white neighbors resented the resort's popularity, a Bruce family spokesperson told CNN earlier this year. White supremacists and Klan members posted no trespassing signs and slashed tires so black families would avoid the area. The KKK attempted to set the property on fire and succeeded in burning down a local black family's home nearby, county officials said earlier this year. There's a photograph here of Anthony Bruce, who is the great-great-grandson of Charles and Willa Bruce, and he spoke at the press conference where Governor Newsom signed the SB 796 bill. Los Angeles County Supervisor Janice Hahn told reporters that when scare tactics didn't work, Manhattan Beach declared eminent domain in 1924. The couple eventually were paid about $14,125. They died just 5 years later. Man, you talk about 5 years later, getting only 14. Well, I guess that was considered a lot of money back then, but still. The city left the land vacant for several decades after it took ownership in 1929. Today, the property is now a park with a lawn, parking lot, and a lifeguard training facility. It no longer belongs to Manhattan Beach. The property was transferred to the state and to Los Angeles County in 1995. When the county supervisors attempted to return the property to the Bruce family last spring, they discovered state eminent domain law prevented them from doing so.
quote, if the Bruces had been allowed to keep the property that they purchased, the impact that would have had on generations of not only Bruce family descendants, but the other African Americans who began to buy parcels surrounding Bruce's Beach, said Los Angeles County Supervisor Holly Mitchell. Quote, the law was used to steal this property 100 years ago, and the law today will get it back, said Hahn. Who will take the next steps to identify the legal heirs of Willa and Charles Bruce and eventually return the property to the family? Quote, I am hopeful that the people in California will see the importance of trying to right this wrong. And it goes on to say, Black-owned properties experience tremendous amounts of hatred, harassment, hostility, and violence at the hand of the Ku Klux Klan, who cold-bloodedly threatened the Bruces and other families who dared to enjoy the property. And that's the end of that story. Wow. Interesting, interesting read. So I'm getting a text, and I'm trying to see who that is. You guys bear with me. So any last thoughts on this story before we get out of here? We have roughly 5 minutes. And Andrea, you said that you're going to go down to, Bruce Beach.
I sure am. With the camera, okay. And probably take a couple of friends because I need to know, even though it's still, how do you say, a real hot subject here in Southern California, it's just that we need to find out what's going on there, and I'll take some pictures and definitely put on social media. But there again, I'm glad that this is happening and that it continued to other things like this continue to break ground, new ground. And let me just say, if you don't mind, Michael, for those of you who are planning on coming to Southern California between February 2022, which is a Super Bowl in Inglewood, and in 2028, we have the Summer Olympics coming to Los Angeles, and we are preparing for that now. Even the Black tourism and trade, which they forgot about, but we're planning for that as well. Because when people come here to Southern California, they want to see what? They want to see the real Black culture. So wherever you guys are, guys and dolls, if you're going to be anywhere in California in 2022 or between 2022 and 2028, invest in a business here. Invest in a Black-owned business here. Because when you're in the Black financially in business, you are thumbs up. So stay with our support, Blacks in Business. You will be in the Black. This will be my last.
Most definitely. I totally agree with you.
The Bruce family, they're now in the Black again. Wow. Millions later. Look at that.
That is true. And, you know, I want to piggyback on that. You know, a lot of people are ordering online. A lot of folks are buying from Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, from Amazon, you know, ordering online. There are a lot of Black businesses online. There are many of Black businesses online. They don't have a brick-and-mortar building. So do your research. Take a look at some of the same products that you buy from Amazon. There are some Black businesses that sell that product, and some of them may be a little bit higher, maybe a little bit cheaper. But that's a way you can support a Black business is ordering online. It'll be delivered to your door just like, you know, Amazon does and just like Home Depot and all of them do. So take the time to look at those options. Don't always go with the name brand stores or the big box stores. Support Black businesses online. There's many of them. Okay, so with that being said and just having a few minutes left on the show, again, I want to thank Time and Chip, the host, and also Cotton Campbell and Andrea James. Thank you so much for bringing our guest, Mr. Dave Lewis, to our attention. Great show and a great conversation. And officially, you guys, today, officially, we are on hiatus until November. We're just going to close down shop for a little bit, give ourselves a break, and we'll be back with some great guests again. Some of the guests that we've had this past year and years before are going to be returning, letting us know what they're doing, their new projects, and you know,
just what's going to be happening the rest of this year and some things next year. So, again, want to thank you for joining the TMGS. Cotton, any final words?
No, I just want to say I love you guys. As I said earlier, I definitely appreciate you, Michael, for allowing me to be one of your co-hosts. I'm very thankful for that, and so I can't wait for the next segment of this journey.
All right. Fantastic. I appreciate it. And also, I want to thank our other co-hosts, the one and only, the lady of the house, Ms. Janet Davis, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw, and Bernie B-Man Jones, who couldn't make the show today. But we'll be back, like I said, next month, November. Hey, we're going to get out of here and leave you with the GS theme song, written and produced by Mr. Joe Foxworth, formerly of the group. If you guys remember the group Ozone on Motown, they had their big hit called Strut My Thing. And Joe kindly gave me this track as the opening and closing song. It's a little long, instrumental, but I love it, and it's perfectly titled. And it's called Conversation Piece. Hey, you guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. And we'll talk to you soon here on the TMGS. Good night.